Hi, this is Gardening Related. Welcome. I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And I'm Elizabeth in New York.
Hi,
hey.
Honey. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was down with COVID, as you well know, for a couple of weeks.
It's and then been a while.
I know. And then I went into bronchitis. I'm still coughing some. I'm on the mend and better, and things are looking up.
Good. And, yes.
And we're harvesting major amounts of things from the garden.
Yeah? What are you harvesting?
Well, we have so many green beans, we don't know what to do with them all. Isn't that a terrible problem?
I love it. I love it. No, that's a wonderful problem.
I know.
So are you making like string bean soup, freezing them? Like,
no, you're the only person I know that makes string bean soup.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so bad.
You got to add the sour cream and, you know, the paprika. It's the old Hungarian recipe. Look it up, guys.
If I was Hungarian, I might like it. No, what I do with it is we eat it warm with butter and salt one day. We take off some of them and butter them up and eat those hot. And then that night, I vinaigrette them with oil and lemon juice and a little bit of balsamic, salt and pepper, and stick that in the icebox. And then the next day, let it come up to room temperature even, or just barely chilled, and it is the best.
And you got like fresh green bean pickles.
You've got fresh green bean vinaigrette. It's wonderful.
I love it.
It's very Italian that way.
Italian little Parmesan cheese. I do like a green bean salad with tomatoes and red onion and green beans.
Yeah.
And then just like dress it and add a lot of oregano and Parmesan cheese.
There you go.
So good.
So good. You could even have that for dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had watermelon several times this summer already.
You are a girl after my own heart. When my husband's away, I usually ate watermelon or popcorn like Connie did.
Yeah. You know what people are calling that now? It's a thing. They're calling it girl dinner.
I love it.
Right? It's when you rummage around in your fridge and you get cobbled together whatever random ingredients and you spread them all out on the counter and you just eat. Whatever it is, you know, girl dinner.
Minimal effort.
Yeah. I'm going to take half a watermelon and a spoon into the backyard and fight my chickens off while I hack away at this giant watermelon.
That's exactly right. And you'll leave the rind for the chickens.
They love it.
They love it. They eat it down to the green. I've never seen a watermelon go as fast as that.
Sadie has been eating our watermelon and watermelon rinds and stealing our corn cobs as well. she chomps on them. Yes, the dog.
Well, she's hungry for vegetables and fruit.
Well, she's jealous of the chickens whenever I feed them. She's like, okay, and me.
Okay, so, you know, it just has to be one for you, one for Sadie, one for...
That's what I have to do.
That's what you have to do.
I make her do tricks for it where the chickens don't have to do anything but exist.
Well, look at the size of the brain differential.
I mean, really can't handle much more than that.
No. And Haunt brought in our first cherry tomato, Sun Gold cherry tomato.
Oh, what a glorious moment that is.
That is. And... there's some strawberries to be had, and I think there might be raspberries coming up soon. You know, we have those golden raspberries.
I want to talk about raspberries with
Let's
you
go.
Because we have a ton of raspberries that I think a previous owner planted on our property.
Well, how lucky.
They're all kind of, I know, right? Someone knew what they were doing. You know what else? So, tangent. I bought three elderberry bushes, little tiny, you know, elderberry bushes. This spring from a friend who works at a farm. And I was so happy. Oh my God, we're going to have elderberries. Like not this year, maybe next year, whatever. Well, come to find out, I'm looking in my backyard going, what are those white blooms?
Oh,
this was like late May, early June. Elderflower.
Yeah. They're beautiful elderberry flower.
I already had a huge elderberry bush. So we're going to have elderberries already. The new ones that I put in this year are good.
Well, they'll come up and they get hot tall. They get
They're huge. It's 6-8 feet right now.
Yeah. You know,
it's taller than our fence, I believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I saw the best time to replant elderberry, you can just hack a branch off in the dead of winter, January, February, when it's cold.
And
you
they're hack dormant.
A branch off, you just stick it in the ground. Boom. You got yourself a new elderberry bush.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know.
How cool is that? I've had a lot of reseeding of my elderberry. So I'm finding elderberry starts all over the garden, which I've had to, you know, dig up or just leave and figure out that I like it there.
Yeah. Edit or move or get used to it.
Exactly. What have you been harvesting?
So we've had a lot of green beans, a lot of peas. The peas are, of course, on their way out.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of peas. I had a jalapeno, first jalapeno.
Wow.
A couple more on the way.
Good.
The raspberry bushes, we have a ton of them.
Okay, and raspberries, yes.
They're all, back to that.
Yeah.
They're all around the border and they're kind of shaded. And okay. I did not give them water and I did not give them a ton of love.
Okay.
I did fertilize them.
Okay.
But they're very itty bitty tiny and hard. They're not getting big and sweet and juicy. And I think I needed to water them because we had that really dry spurt in May.
Okay.
Think that would make the difference or is it the sun?
I think both.
Yeah.
So yeah. Probably when the previous owner planted them, there was sun there.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes, you know, as your trees grow, your garden has to change.
Yeah.
So you can dig them up in the fall when everything goes dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in a couple of rows that you can walk in between.
Mm.
And stick a long, very, very, very strong pole. Between them from one end to the other. You're going to make a clothesline. You're going to make a double clothesline.
Okay.
With that pole with wire.
For the birds?
No, for the canes of the raspberries to come up and grow through the two wires.
Huh.
So they don't fall over and they're maybe, you know, if you can put a T cross on top of your pole somehow so that you get a few inches of apart from the wires, great.
Huh.
But you
don't
need to. You can string them through a series of these two wires and they'll come up and then they won't fall over and the birds won't get to them as badly on the ground and neither will bugs and stuff. And then you can see them. Plus you need to feed them and water them. Now, you also need to read about raspberries. You have to cut off the old canes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay. So that's another thing that I haven't been doing. I have not been pruning them.
That's okay.
You know, they've been going for who knows how many years.
Right. And that's okay. It's never too late to prune things. Prune them in the fall after you've noticed that some of the stalks, some of the canes, they're called canes, some of the canes won't produce.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So mark those. Mark it with a dot of spray paint or some little way that you can mark them.
Or something.
String, something that will be quick and easy so that when you come back in the fall, you know, and everything's dead, which canes are you supposed to cut? Well, the ones that are marked.
Got it. Okay. Well, one thing that I have been doing, because I'm not getting berries from them, which is disappointing. I was hoping we would get a few. A few are turning red, but they're very, very hard. So they're not good.
Wait until they're soft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Berries oftentimes ripen way in the end of August.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we still may get some then. Okay. That's good to know. But one thing that I have been doing is collecting raspberry leaves for tea.
Oh, interesting.
Which it makes a really lovely tea. It's very medicinal. And
it sounds horrible.
No, it's fruity. Fruity.
Is it?
Yes.
I'd like that then. That a lot. Yeah.
You would.
What's it medicinal for?
Well, apparently it's good for pregnant women specifically.
I don't need that then.
But it's also good for a couple other things, I think. Blood and bones.
Good.
And, you know, other things that everyone has.
Good.
Just in general, if you're alive.
So morning sickness, maybe.
Here, let me look it up to be a little bit more accurate.
That's okay. That's okay. I think I remembered something about raspberry tea leaves being good for morning sickness. Cavernous brain here that
very high in antioxidants.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes used to ease PMS.
Okay.
So that's really handy. Good source of antioxidants, bunch of other things. But
good.
How you do it is you collect the raspberry leaves carefully.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even the leaves have the prickles.
Yeah.
And then you stick them in a jar. Stuff a jar full of them, and fresh. And
fresh.
You put the jar into your pantry for about 3 or 4 days. And after 3 or 4 days, you come back, you burp it. There's a little gas that will, you know, dissipate.
But you don't add water to these leaves.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So fresh leaves in a jar in your pantry, dark, cool space. And then you come back, and that's when you go and you dry them out after they've need a fermenting period. And that's how they get that nice berry flavor.
Interesting.
Right? Right. So yeah. I'm doing strawberry leaves and raspberry leaves. And yeah, it helps with vomiting, cramps, nausea, and diarrhea.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to have every sick kid in the neighborhood come into your house. That's fantastic.
You know, I love finding things in my yard that I can put in a jar.
Elizabeth, I truly believe you were an old medicine woman.
I think so. I agree.
I think that it just comes naturally to you.
I have always been drawn to wild plants. I remember, you know, in the car as a kid, driving past sumac trees and saying to mom, "Hey, what's that?" And she goes, "Oh, it's a weed." And it wasn't until, you know, a couple years ago that I'm like, "Oh my God, sumac." And you can, you know, get the berries, and the berries are actually really great for you.
I'm telling you, vitamin C. You just are remembering your old medicine woman days or medicine man days. Good for you.
Yeah.
It comes naturally to you. I've been growing strawberries and raspberries for years, and not once did I consider ever harvesting a leaf.
Well, there you go. So if your berries stink, just go for the leaves.
Yeah, go for the leaves. And make tea.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so then after you've done the jar thing for 3 or 4 days, then what do?
So then I put them on a baking sheet with on some parchment paper. And what I've been doing now, because I'm collecting a whole bunch of things from our yard, mullein, fleabane, raspberry leaves, strawberry leaves. So I lay them out on the parchment paper, and I write on the parchment paper in pencil what's what.
Yeah.
Draw a little map so that I know when it's all dried.
Good.
What's what? I pop it in the oven at the lowest temperature that it'll go at for, you know, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, check it. And then when they're all crispy, there you go.
And so then you have your tea.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I grind them up, crush them up, and put them in a jar.
And mark the jar, and then you go in there, and then when you want tea, you put some in hot water, let it steep for a while, and strain it out, and drink it.
Yes. Yeah.
You are a medicine woman. That's exactly what you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the summertime, too, now is the perfect time to do infusions as well.
How do you do an infusion?
So it's fresh. They're much more potent. And what I love to do is I collect all of my herbs, whatever I'm doing. We have a ton of mugwort, which is great for the liver.
Yeah.
And detoxing, ancient traditions always go back to the liver. You know, you got acne, liver. Stomach problems, liver.
Really?
Sinus issues, liver.
Sounds like the Europeans. They're always complaining about their livers.
Well, they're always drinking.
Yeah. They are.
So that might
have something to do with it.
Might be related. But yeah, I've been doing a bunch of mugwort. I pour some boiling water over it, fill the jar, you know, as much as I can, 3/4 of the way. And then I pour boiling water over it. And if it's in the evening, I stick it in the fridge overnight. And the next day, I have a lovely infusion. Or if I start in the morning, what I do is I fill it with boiling water and then I stick it out in the sun so that it can get the sweetness from the sun tea.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's really lovely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, good for you. I think that you should start taking all kinds of notes and writing them down and making a book out of it or a pamphlet.
Yeah. You know, there's so much information that's readily available.
You could make a pamphlet out of, you know, what to do for flu, what to do for pregnancy, what to do for measles, what to do for hiccups. You could do little, you know, and you could sell those at a place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this information is so readily available. I was in Home Depot the other day getting some flowers. I got some black-eyed Susans to put in the backyard.
Yes, I saw that.
I'm starting to build. Yeah, we were texting.
Yeah.
I'm starting to build a native meadow back there. So just starting. So I'm walking through the aisles of Home Depot, looking at all these different plants, ducking down, you know, squatting in the sun, trying to get out of it, and Googling, okay, here's the Latin name, native region. Right.
Good for you.
And looking it up. Okay, no, that's Southeast Asia. We can't have that.
Although today this summer, you probably could.
I could, but I do want to focus on feeding the birds. Native wildlife.
Yes, of course you do.
Yeah, that's here rather than the invasives.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's also time, if you're a regular gardener, not a medicine woman, but a regular gardener, it's also time to think about feeding your last feed for the garden, because by August, it's kind of too late.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to keep feeding, especially if you're in zones that are a little bit colder. Because you don't have the growing season after like September 15th or 20th.
Yeah.
So you don't want plants to still be setting out tender leaves. So you want to feed them now and let it go for all of August and let her run and let her kind of get... played out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And then let them go back and, you know, rest for the season and then feed them again in the spring. So that's one thing. And the other thing is to deadhead, because you do have, most people have another 6 weeks. And that's enough to get another flush of blossoms on all the things that you need to deadhead.
You know what's crazy? Now, I have two different lilac trees. One's a regular purple lilac that, you know, I've seen a million times before, especially around here in New York. The other one is a smaller leafed and smaller flowered lilac.
Yeah, Korean.
Oh, it's Korean.
I think it's Korean.
It's blooming again.
Yes, it's a rebloomer. They're making some lilacs that rebloom.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not as big of a bloom as it was in the spring.
No, it won't be.
If I had deadheaded it, though, would I get a full bloom?
You would if you'd also deadheaded it and fed it.
Oh.
And that's okay that you don't know that. This is why you learn.
This is why I come to you.
This is why you come to me. This is why you have another year, another chance.
Yes.
Every year you learn more things. Put some ashes on it or some lime. Something non-acidic, something alkaline. They love the sweet soil. And also, don't feed it anymore right now.
Right.
Because you don't want it to grow tender and then freeze off. That'll be bad. But next year, after you've deadheaded it, you know, and God, gather those blooms.
Yeah.
And do you know how to keep a lilac going in a vase? You have to get your hammer out on a wooden, very, very rustic wooden surface and and smash the stems with a hammer.
Oh, okay. So it has as much surface area and can drink.
Yes. One person I know just stripped off the woody bark, but it wasn't as effective. It lasted for one day, but if you smash it, you'll get 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, lilacs are hard to keep like that. So you have to keep
They're really hard to keep. Yeah.
But the plant itself can be very hardy and very dead easy. Mm-hmm. And they send up new shoots all the time, and it's wonderful. So this Korean one is a little bit more tender and a little bit shorter lived than your regular one. But feed it and deadhead it. Deadhead it especially this fall. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that no seeds are going into the plant itself. No energy is being taken up on the seed production.
Right.
You want it to go back into the plant.
Okay.
And just deadhead.
Okay. And deadhead in the fall for that? Then?
Just deadhead the blossom end.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll cut off the next year's blossoms.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. Just deadhead the blossom end on the lilacs. Other things can deadhead. You know, when they, like, I have Veronica. And Veronica sends up these lovely shoots.
Yes.
Beautiful stalks. Well, and then the stalks die back and flower and then die back. And it makes a rosette in the bottom of the plant is a rosette is what they call it. It's just this nest of green leaves. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. You don't just deadhead the flowering part of the stalk. You deadhead the stalk all the way down to the bottom.
Oh my God. Drastic.
Yes. And then sometimes they'll send up another stalk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it depends on what it is, you know, but a lot of things that create rosettes, you deadhead the stalk all the way down, but not lilacs.
That is such a good trick. So rosettes, most of the time you deadhead all the way down.
Yeah, like your black-eyed Susans will make a rosette.
Yes. Okay. So in the fall, I'm going to cut them all the way down.
When they go to start going to seed, Elizabeth, you have brand new plants.
Yeah.
You want the energy going to the plant to make a bigger plant so that in another year or two, you can divide that plant and get 3 out of 1.
Yes. Okay.
So you don't need black-eyed Susan seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You want the plants to grow strong and big and healthy. So when the blossoms have started to die back and die off and they look like crap, they're dead looking, there's going to be a pod of some sort. Each flower is different. And that is where the seeds start to develop. And if you don't cut that off, and it goes from daffodils all the way to the end of the year stuff, chrysanthemums. If you don't cut it off, then the energy goes into the seeding of the energy goes into the seeds.
Right.
Cut it off.
Right.
If you want seeds, wait till it's really dry and then cut it off and put it in an envelope that you've marked. You mark it with the name of the thing and the date, at least the year. Because in another year, you'll forget what envelope is what. And that looked familiar. And I don't know when I gathered that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has played the, oh, I'll remember game. And then, you know, it gets around to be time and you're like, I have no idea.
Somebody said that's the biggest lie you tell yourself is that you'll remember.
It's so true.
Too.
It's so true. And every time, you know, the freezer too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll remember what this is.
No, you don't.
I actually, just this evening, I was pulling out some frozen chicken broth and I was like, and I have this other smaller bag. I think it's also frozen chicken broth. And as it's defrosting, I'm like, no, there's a chunk in there. It was frozen banana.
Oh, perfect. You can throw it on your roses. It's the last time you can throw it on your roses.
Oh, my God. You're right. I dumped the water. Oh, I'm so mad at myself.
Well, do you still have the banana?
Yeah, but I made it into bread.
Okay, then that works too. You're feeding you.
It's feeding me. So, you know, I have been so good about saving my random water and liquid from from assorted things. Banana water. I just threw it out.
That's okay.
I have a bucket of rotting bananas out in the yard fermenting for fertilizing.
Well,
water.
Listen, get them in now
just
because
didn't even think about
because
it.
You may have a later season and you will you don't have another roses, but you can put it on other things. Don't ask me what right this minute, but you can put it on other things. Anything that needs.
I've been putting it on everything.
Good. I'll bet it does well.
I've just my sunflower.
Your sunflowers are amazing.
They're amazing,
they are amazing. They're 12 feet.
They're literally 12 feet. Yes. Yeah. The one that survived from my winter planting has, I think I counted 20 blooms on it.
Oh, excellent.
And it is 12 feet tall.
Unbelievable. That is fantastic. Yeah. Now, the other ones might set up
giant
one or two blooms and they'll be bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, you've gotten several smaller blooms, but
yes,
and that's okay. One or the other doesn't matter. But notice that when the plant starts to dry up, the birds will come and steal the seeds before you can get them off the blossom.
Yeah,
just know that.
Yeah,
you'll feed the birds.
Well,
early.
I have so many blossoms that are going to be coming up from all of these sunflowers because I planted a ton. So they're all along the ridge of my mound bed, my Google culture bed. And so I just have a ton. So there's plenty for the birds and plenty for me to reseed next year.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you making any bouquets? Are you bringing in any flowers?
Not too many. I should bring in more.
You know, one of the things that surprised haunted me when we started gardening is that I would go out and I would bring in this and that and the other and put it in a vase and it would fill a vase. It would just fill it. And we would look at each other and think that was just from our backyard. That was just from this little place. And you don't realize until you put it in a vase what treasures you sometimes have out there. So for everybody out there gardening, do yourself a favor and give yourself a permission to cut your favorite rose and your favorite, I don't know, fern, and your favorite this and that and the other that goes with it, and bring it in and make a pretty bouquet for yourself and give yourself a lovely treat.
It's so true.
It's important.
It's so true. I made a bouquet for Forrest's grandmother when we went to go have dinner. And it was, you know, I spent maybe 5-10 minutes out there, and I collected this gorgeous bouquet. And it's amazing. I feel like it gives me a better idea of how I want to arrange my garden.
Like what?
When I cut the different flowers from all the different beds that I have and I put them together, I'm like, oh, wow.
You've got a lot of stuff.
Turns out, you know, this dahlia looks really stunning with the hosta.
Oh, yes.
And the lilies and, you know, the cosmos look amazing this way and that way. And it gives me a better idea of how I want to plant my flowers next
year. But dahlias and hostas will not grow together.
Okay. Well,
but that's okay. Fine. That's okay. But you can put them into the thing, and that's what makes it magic, because they will survive in a vase together.
Yes.
And you can research, you know, what does look good together, and do they both like sun or do they both like shade? Do they both like the same wet? And then as you start to research that, that's good. Also, go around, just drive around. Drive around other people's full blooming gardens right now. They may not have it organized like you would. They may have it all different, but they're blooming at the same time and they're both in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're blooming at the same time and they're both in the shade. And so this looks good with this. That was what some of my English gardening teachers said. They said, go around, check out what is blooming at the same time with what, and plant them together and make a beautiful display in your garden. Because some people put one thing in the front yard and one thing in the back and they're blooming at the same time.
Yes. Exactly. And you don't really recognize it.
No, and you're kind of like, why didn't I think of that? It's sort of like, duh. But you don't until you've seen somebody else do it. That's why I think so many people visit other people's gardens for the ideas of what occurred to them to plant together.
Mm-hmm.
Hostas and lilies go together.
Okay.
Hostas and astilbes go together.
Oh, yes. I have an entire bed that's just hostas and lilies.
You kept your hostas. I'm impressed.
I just haven't.
It's okay.
I haven't posted them on Facebook Marketplace to get rid of them yet.
Well, you know what? They'll keep growing and you'll have more to sell next year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they're huge. They're massive.
Good. You can divide them. Believe me, hostas are an acquired taste, one that you and I haven't acquired. But secondly, there are fanatics out there for hostas. Fanatics.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't get it. But I don't need to get it.
No.
Just come take my hostas. Yeah.
You're a mugwort kind of girl.
Yes. Yeah. Give me the mugwort. Yeah. Give me the fever few.
The dandelions. You're that kind of a girl.
Yes. Fever few is my new favorite herb. I got it from a seed catalog. I was like, this sounds witchy and fun, and I want it in my herb garden, and we'll see. It is so sweet.
Is it?
And it tastes so good making a tea out of it. And apparently it's an amazing painkiller.
Oh, interesting.
And it's great for when you have a fever.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And it's a pretty, you know, it looks kind of like chamomile, has a very similar flower. I'm noticing that, you know, it's getting bitter now that it's flowered. Uh-huh. But before it flowered, it was just, it was like candy.
Interesting. Almost. Maybe you can keep cutting off the flowers before, you know, and keeping that sweetness. But Elizabeth, keep notes of things. Are you keeping notes of these things?
No, I'll remember.
Sure you will. Sure you will, girl. You have a very young memory. It's really good. And next year when I say, what was that sweet thing that you were planting that looked like chamomile? And you'll say, I'll go back and look in my notes.
Yeah. Well, we have this podcast, right? It's an audio journal.
This is true. This is very, very true.
It's just for us because I hate taking notes. That's all.
Put them in your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Record them. In your phone, make a verbal recording in your phone that can be transposed into text. Mm. And so, you know, as you're laying in bed at night without Forrest there, you can talk to yourself.
Yeah. Or maybe I can have I should just take one of these journals that I have. I have so many right now. And just keep it outside or keep it on the porch.
Yes.
So it's readily available.
That's a good idea.
For when I'm outside.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. You'll be amazed at the things you forget.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to England and I saw a month's worth of English gardens, I had a little booklet or two. And I thought I was going to go home and change everything in my garden. All these combinations that worked and all these things that I was going to reseed up and do stuff with. And we got home and the water was gone and so we had to move.
Ugh.
But I found that that little tiny booklet, and it has 1,000 flower combinations in it, and things that I would never remember. Plus, I made Haunt take pictures of them, so I have a recording of it, a visual recording of it, along with the writing of it, and I know that as I go along, things will die back and things have died off and I'll need a new place and I've got a new hole in the garden. What am I going to put there? So, So that's what I'm going to use it for now.
Oh, yeah. You got to break that book out.
You know?
Give us some of those hot British combos.
Yeah. And some of them are hard to come by. You know, there's a lot of campanulas they use over there that are hard to find over here. So we should start getting more... familiar with them, and then we'll seed them up and start a process. Campanulas,
I love.
There's 150 different types of campanulas, and they're amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, some grow like, there's a Campanula pyramidalis that grows, I don't know, 10 feet tall in a pyramid.
Campanula. Oh, it's pretty. Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of kinds. It's also called bellflower.
Oh, bellflower. Yes, Campanula. And I was just looking at these in Home Depot yesterday.
Does Home Depot have
I'm thinking they're so pretty.
Does Home Depot have a... Out here they have a reduced shelf where the flowers...
Yes, shrubs and roses are 50% off right now. I was just at Home Depot yesterday, so check it out.
Check it out.
Now's the time. I didn't like any of the roses that they had. I think they only had one type. No, they had a mini. What's the one that you like? Bomb, big bomb, bombastic, bombshell. The one that you have around your
tea roses. There's English roses. That's the ones I love. There's I don't know. There's nothing with bomb. Shrub roses.
No, it's the one over by your back gate, or not back gate, by the pool.
Oh, knockouts.
Knockouts.
Yeah.
Yes. I just knew that it was aggressive.
Knockouts, they're not exciting. They don't have a scent. But they're But they're easy.
They had miniature knockouts.
Oh, weird.
And I was like, what's the point of that's an oxymoron.
Well, it's because some people don't have a big garden.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then another type of flower type of rose that didn't have any scent. It was just I think it was the same type of rose that I pulled out of my garden recently.
The Professor Huey?
I think so.
Don't worry about it.
It was not an impressive rose.
If you Google highly scented roses,
mm-hmm.
and then go find one you love, and then go find a place.
That's what I want.
And then go find a place that sells them. And mm-hmm. be expected next spring to pay $50 for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous, the price of plants these days.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no harm in a little pair of shears and a twig falling off here and there.
It takes 2 years after the shear, after you've used a little twig, if you're lucky enough to get it to root. So just know that sometimes mm-hmm. it's worth the $50 that you've had $50 worth of enjoyment for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that.
That's true. That's true.
There are some things that'll come back like gangbusters, but not roses. Roses take love and dedication and a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I will try to start a couple for you in a few years when I get my strength back and send you some, but we'll see.
Okay. No rush.
No rush.
No rush.
And besides that, you're going to be moving houses.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know. I have mixed feelings about it. The yard is starting to look, you know, like what I want it to, and now I got to do it all over again, but it'll be fun.
It's
put in 5 more gardens in a year like I did last year.
It's it's a never-ending process. It's almost like, you know, when you go from grade to grade to grade, now you have to learn how to write, now you have to learn how to print, and then you have to learn addition and then subtraction, then multiplication. Oh my God. It's like that. And but then you realize that this is your second garden or your third garden. And mm-hmm. each time you do it, you get smarter and smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And also you start asking yourself really smart questions like, what do I want to be looking out when I'm looking out the window in December, in January, in April, in August? What do I want to be looking at?
Yeah.
And it's really important that you ask yourself those questions.
Get the whole vision of it.
Yeah, and some of it will be a 5-year dream. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was, I think we put in the pergolas 12 years in. No.
Yeah.
3 years in. But I'd been gardening. You know, Mom died in 2012 and I got the inheritance in 2013. And that's when we put in the pergolas. But we moved here in 2010. But I'd been gardening since 1990.
Yeah. Those pergolas are incredible.
And you know what? Too. They're not that expensive. And I'll teach you about it. I'll look up the company and see if they're still in business and giving them a plug. Because it's amazing.
Yes, definitely.
Because I looked at all of the pergolas, all the white pergolas, you know, they were $7,000 and $8,000 for a 4x4 pergola. And it was like, oh my Lord. No. And these were from New England Arbor and they were amazing. And they were $2,000 at the time for 12 feet.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah.
I'm a shopper.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Hunt those deals.
Yes, 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 yes. So, Forrest is away. You've been eating popcorn and you've been eating watermelon with the chickens.
And popcorn. And popcorn. You're on it. Your psychic sense is correct.
Yes, yes.
We had a popcorn dinner.
It's an old friend of mine used to eat popcorn for dinner. That's what she fed her family for dinner. And I was like, honey, you can't do that to your young children. You just can't do that. But that's okay.
The chickens finished it off for me the next morning. Chickens and Sadie finished it off for me the next morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Sadie gets jealous of what I feed the chickens. I love that. I have to do one for her, couple for the chickens.
Yes. Yes. Chester and Pie get jealous of each other.
Oh, and sweet things.
And then the cats come along, do you know? And then I like to feed a little cream cheese to both dogs in the morning with my bagel. And then,
spoiled.
And then here comes the two cats. And so I have to reach in between the two dogs and give them a little bit of cream cheese. And you know that those dogs freeze because they're so scared the cats will scratch them. That they just freeze and go, okay, that's the cat's turn. We're not even looking. She's not there really, but we're going to be good cat. We're going to be good puppy
don't
dogs.
Don't see us. No. Please don't see
don't
us.
Don't see us. It's really funny.
Oh, I love them.
So what are you having for dinner tonight?
So I made, made myself a lovely fancy dinner.
You did not.
Yes. You're going to love
okay,
this.
Good.
You're going to be like, oh my God, I'm drooling. I'm right over.
Okay.
I made cauliflower piccata and rice.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to be right over.
You're like, no, you stay over there, please.
Did you at least add some pasta to it?
No, I
got
put
the
it
rice.
Over white
That's
rice.
Right. White rice.
I got good. Rice over it. And then I'm doing no sugar
okay.
right now.
How's that going?
It's going really well, actually.
No wonder you think the Fever Few is sweet.
So I made a sugar-free banana bread that I have yet to try, but I put a little maple syrup and some figs, chopped figs in it.
Does it weigh a ton?
Yeah.
That's how you can always tell.
I don't think it's going to be very good. It's going to be a tea cake for sure.
You know what? Sadie will
Big
love it.
Big cup of tea.
Sadie will love it. Sadie and the chickens
will fight for it.
If you can get it out the door, if you can lift it up and out the door without it breaking one of the steps.
Yeah. I beat chickpea, what is it called? Aquafaba in it too.
What the hell is that?
Chickpea liquid. It's
why?
It can be. Well, I had it from the cauliflower piccata.
Oh, Elizabeth. We're going to have to review some cooking basics here. Honest to God.
I mean, there's eggs in it, too, because, you know, it's not like okay. I was doing a vegan thing or anything.
No, God but... help you. Oh, my God.
But, yeah. Yeah.
I remember the ones not? In the 60s that were made with applesauce, and you couldn't lift the slice. And it was so bad. It was just so bad.
I think what I'm going to do is just slather it in butter.
Well, that makes up for all the sugar you didn't put into it because your arteries will thank you.
Yes. See, this is my tactic. This is how I've survived no sugar for, I think I'm coming up on a month.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Every time, every time I have a sugar craving, I just eat massive amounts of salt. Totally undoes it. It's great.
Oh, honey. This is and so I mean, bad on so many different levels. Butter and salt. Why don't you just...
I am not a doctor.
Oh, my God.
Here's the disclaimer we should have had at the top. Not a doctor. Take no recommendations from me.
Eat an apple.
But this is what I'm doing with my own body.
When you have your sugar cravings, go eat an apple. They're very sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've also been eating a ton of fruit.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And peaches and, you know, all kinds of wonderful things like that. Those are sweet.
Now is the time to do it.
Yes.
Because there's so many good things that are just, you know, so readily available.
Yes. And if you put a little sugar in, it'll make it juicy and wonderful.
Yeah. Well.
What? Why? Why did you do that to yourself?
So, so I'm going to start a parasite cleanse. And... because everyone has parasites in them.
Oh, dear.
Everyone does. And yeah, everyone. So the parasites only come out if they're dead.
Yeah.
And so in order to kill them, you have to starve them. And one of the things that they eat is sugar. So preemptively, before I start the official cleanse, I am starving the parasites so they'll be easier to
extract.
Flush out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Maybe TMI. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no maybe about that one. Okay. Okay, good. So we'll have a different conversation about your health in a little while. But your eating habits are appalling.
I'm doing great. I feel wonderful.
I'm glad.
I know it's hard for you to
I'm glad you feel wonderful. I'm really happy that you do. I'm really proud of you that you have the courage to do things like that. It goes against my grain. My taste buds would revolt. Do you know? They just would. They just would.
Yeah.
But of course I'm not in great health. So, you know, there's me. There's me told off. However, I hope that you don't pass your banana bread around.
Oh, I'm going to send you a slice.
Oh, good.
I'm going to send you a slice and it'll cost me $70 in shipping.
Yes, because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. And we'll feed it to the dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll bury it in the backyard like a bone.
Oh, honey, I'm afraid of what might happen to the backyard. No, God knows. I mean, there's so much healthy stuff in there. We could start a new compost pile.
Yeah.
It's like
it'll resurrect
Elizabeth,
itself.
What you're doing is cooking compost is what you're doing.
Yes.
You're cooking compost.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Well, let me know how, but not on a podcast. We'll talk privately about how your parasites are going. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I haven't started yet, so I'll keep you informed. I'll keep you up to date.
Okay, good.
But,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Speaking of compost, though.
Yes.
One of the projects, so Forrest is out of town, which has been really wonderful. I've been sleeping in the center of the bed, both pillows. It's great.
Wow.
Do
we need to send you more pillows?
No.
Okay.
No. but I've gotten so much done.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm starting, so we only have one compost pile. So I haven't used any of the compost from it, or, you know, just in the very beginning of this past spring.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't really rested.
Yeah.
I've been constantly just putting onto it. So what I'm doing now is, instead of building a second compost, I'm starting a worm farm.
Yeah.
So I have three buckets and I'm piling them up on top of each other. I drilled holes in the top two of them. And then I have a solid one on the bottom.
Good.
And I'm going to stick a bunch of worms and my compost in there.
Good.
And I'm never going to buy my own soil again.
Okay.
Is my thought.
That's
is my thought and goal. Well, goal.
You know,
we'll
if
see.
You wanted a bed that was about a 2x2, you'd have no problem.
Well,
after
you know,
2 years,
if I put all my compost in this, you know, and then store the soil somewhere, I think I might be able to get somewhere.
Okay. Well,
over the winter too, I won't have to run out into the yard to dump the compost. Good. I can just put it in the basement.
You can set also it up in the basement. Elizabeth, when you want to use a little compost, which is not the time to do it right now, you can dig down at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true.
You can do that. This is true. And it's okay. You don't have to start a second compost. Just keep adding on, but make it be so that it's easy for you to dig in the bottom, because by next spring, it'll all be reduced down.
Yeah.
This year's will be all reduced down to the bottom foot.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a foot of compost as wide and as deep as your thing is. And then you use all that and then you keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you turn it, you could use it faster, but that's okay. I understand. I don't turn mine either. I just let it sit for years and years and years.
Yep. Yep. I mean, maybe this late fall, if I'm feeling like I want to work out and want to get dirty, I'll turn it. We'll see.
You'll see.
We'll see. The chickens do a pretty good job of turning the top layer.
Okay, good.
They get in there.
That's good. And also the their chicken poop should scavengers. Be added. The chicken poop should.
Oh, yeah. All of that gets in there.
But chicken poop is also very, very hot. It will burn it if it's not aged. So you need to age it. So that's perfect.
So this is my quandary of like, you know, I keep adding hot compost.
Yeah.
And then it sets my timeline back.
Not if you dig down to the bottom foot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn it. Mm-hmm. Dig the bottom foot out, and you've got it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good.
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 All right, sweetheart. So, what are you having for dinner? Right. You're having that banana nut bread. No, cauliflower piccata.
Cauliflower piccata
with rice. Yep.
What are you having for dinner?
We're gonna have a salad with ham and egg, a chef salad like. Mm.
Yum.
Yeah, and we've got so many green beans. We're gonna put some in the salad.
Yes. Yes.
And we'll vinaigrette the rest for tomorrow.
Mm. That sounds lovely.
I wish you were here.
I do too. I do too. But,
oh my God, you'd be eating sugar.
I know I would. I know I'd never last without sugar around you.
No, people on you'd, strange as diets.
Soon as, mm-hmm, yeah. As soon as I'd walk through your door,
there'd be sugar.
Have a slice of chocolate cake in my mouth.
Well, that or something. Something good. Something good. Anyway, you give my love to Forrest. I hope he had a wonderful time in Quebec. And
yes.
And you take care, and we'll talk again really soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Love you.
I love you a whole bunch.
I love you more. Bye. Mwah.
Mwah. Bye. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Facebook at Gardening Related, on TikTok at Gardening Related, and on Instagram at gardening.related. Feel free to shoot us an email or ask any questions.
And also, I think we're on Facebook. Did you say that already?
Yeah.
And we've got a website.
Yep. We Gardening have a website.
What is it?
Gardeningrelated.com. Check us out.
Okay, good.
And give us some love.